Okay, let's call the meeting to order. Start with a salute to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Evening, everyone. Thanks for coming out on a cold night. Open the floor for public comment. John.
I see we got the sidewalk right now, I guess, apparently.
Well, as far as I know, I mean, we sent letters to those that didn't shovel.
And what I read in the post office was that 24 hours after they're not done, Jay and his helper are going to clear them.
They have to be notified before we clear them. So the rule, the way it works is a resident has 24 hours from the end of the storm. So when it stops snowing, they got 24 hours to clear. If the sidewalk isn't cleared by that time, they have to be notified, and then we give them another 24 hours, and then if it's not, we can send them in to clear. So that's the way the schedule works.
My concern was when you see people out in Route 20 with baby carriages.
Understood.
Especially nowadays with a cell phone, people don't like where they're going.
Mm-hmm. No, we were concerned about it. You know, the first snowfall of the year is always tough, but we're good. We're on it. Anything else? Yes.
I'm gonna ask. Do you think the couches might disappear from the corner?
I have an update on that as well.
Yeah, I have an update.
Oh,
okay. Well, we'll get to that then.
Okay.
Anything else? Not. I mean, you know, I'm not. Okay. So, entertain a motion to approve the November minutes. Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by Guy. Any questions on the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion's carried. Do we have a treasurer's report?
No.
No.
Okay.
So we'll table that till next month. Any correspondence? No. Okay, reports. Departments, Highway Department.
Highway Department, of course, is taking care of the plowing of the streets. Things are going good. We don't have too much snow so far. So what concerns me is the sidewalks, especially Route 20, from Jones Street up to the bank. John has noticed some people walking out on the road, and the first storm was a bit of a problem. If we get some bigger storms, I'm afraid that we're going to run into some problems. I have volunteered, I told Bob, that I would talk with the people that live on Route 20 and ask them if shoveling the snow was beyond their capability, would they be interested in using some young high school students to help them with it. I have not done that yet. But, Guy, I think you and your wife are pretty active in with the younger people. I wondered if that would be a feasible type of thing. Do you know anybody, or is there a group of them that need to hang out together?
Well, there's a group. The group that I know of is the folks, the teenagers who volunteer at the library, but
okay.
You know, they sort of do the thing over the library. I'm not sure that they'd be interested or capable. The other people you might think about is the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, that's a possibility. It's a possibility, a very good possibility.
Or even if we had a pool of, you know, young people that would do it, you know, for pay. I mean, if we...
Well, yeah. I'm not suggesting they do it for free. I think the pay would be the thing to do. We have to be careful about taking them on as employees. The village can't pay them. We can't do that. And it would have to be, you know, the people involved that would take care of it.
But at least you could give them a list of people that might be would be interested in shoveling walks for a fee.
With some phone numbers. Yeah. I'll take care of that.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Water Department.
Average daily use was 92,000 gallons a day. We had two coliform tests, and both were negative. Health Department did a yearly inspection. this past month. I haven't got the written report yet, but Jay informed me they came. All the routine samples were taken, and we started preparing for the 2017 samples that need to be done, and the system is running well as we speak. So,
Police Department.
Officer Jones filed the written report that you have in your packets. There were 3 arrests, 18 incidents, and 42 traffic tickets. 15 of those tickets were for speeding, including 3 in excess of 20 miles over the speed limit. Average for a ticket was 17 miles over the speed limit. 8 tickets were written for failing to stop at the red light on Route 20. And 3 were written for operating a motor vehicle while on the cell phone. We had 1 DWI arrest. 1 ticket for consumption of alcohol in a motor vehicle. There was a drug-related arrest with a large amount of marijuana. And there was an arrest of a sex offender for failing to notify the proper authorities in a timely manner after the person had moved. And the details are in the written report. Unit 602, the 2016 Ford Interceptor has 9,800 miles on it. 603, the Crown Victoria, has 35,900 miles. Unit 603 had some repair work done this month. The officers noticed that the exhaust was getting loud. There was a leak in the gasket between the catalytic converter and the H-pipe. It was fixed and now working properly. And another, just a recent legal development that might be of interest to the board. On the 28th of November, Governor Cuomo signed a law that made it so that vehicles with illegally tinted windows will now fail their annual vehicle inspection. So we'll see if this new enforcement affects the number of vehicles that have illegally tinted windows. I know that is a bit of an issue for certain folks here. So, new law, and apparently it's something I guess the governor is taking more seriously now. I know that he had a battle with the New York City mayor for about this law. In other states, for example, Massachusetts, if you get 3 tickets for this, you lose your license. So it's something I think that people are taking more seriously, especially now with sort of more of a confrontational experience between police and citizens. Okay. I think that's all I have. Yep.
Assessor?
Okay, we're working on closing out the building permits to have the final assessment roll done by January 5th. I'll have all the assessments finished by then. That's about it.
Tentative,
right.
Tentative roll, yeah. I got an email from Dave. He's at court up in Scaticoke. He was due on at 6:30 and was going to head down right after that. So hopefully he'll get here before we finish. Since we do have a little bit of business that involves him. Okay. Any trustees, Randy? Anything else besides your report?
No. Just I don't see anybody. Have a nice Christmas.
Guy?
Yeah, I wanted to bring up an issue that I know that we've talked about here on this board as well as in the community. There was a tragic incident that happened in Oakland, California earlier this month where a warehouse fire took the lives of 36 young people. And the tragedy could have been avoided had the city taken proper action to ensure that the place was habitable and met proper fire codes. And I bring this up because this issue of not meeting proper fire and other habitability codes is a problem in the village. At a recent board meeting, for example, we changed the water billing on a property in Elm Street from 2 units, or 2 units from a single, because the owner is now renting out an apartment in their home. The question is, of course, you know, has Kevin gone over there and given them a CO to have that apartment? I don't know if that's the case. And if that's, you know, is the unit up to fire code? And if not, you know, are there, is there some action we need to take? But this is an example. I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, in the past 35 years, there's been a lot of changing of the village, the way the properties are split up, and I'm not sure that all of those have COs. So I think that one of the things that we should consider doing is reviewing the COs and making sure that they match what's actually happening in these properties, because I don't want to be on the news where some, you know, in the winter when you have the furnace going, when there's, you know, there's a fire and people can't get out, that's a real issue that we should take seriously. And it just, you know, really brought to my attention given the incident in Oakland a couple weeks ago. So, something to consider.
Okay. Anything else?
Just quickly about the tree lighting ceremony, I don't know if anyone else is going to bring it up, but I want to thank everyone for coming out and organizing. Missy, Bob, Marcia, and Sue, and Bill, and your wife for the cookies. Lori, and Judy, and the youth committee. Everyone who contributed, the fire department for taking care of the bonfire. Jay for getting the pallets over from Nassau True Value. Who else? The band, Kurt Vincent and the community band for their fine playing as always. Zachary's Bakery, Hannaford, and Price Chopper for their donation. And of course, it was great to honor Bill and Jane Thomas, longtime business owners in the village.
That's it. Bill?
I have some comments on the parking and sign report, but I'll wait until old business to bring that up.
David?
Just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year for the rest of the season.
I'd like to echo my wishes for a happy and safe holiday season also, and I do want to say thank you to everyone who participated in the annual tree lighting. I think it was a great night. Everybody seemed to have a good time. Especially I want to thank Missy for her work in organizing it and putting things together. And we appreciate that. I've been working with DASNY, trying to get, you know, our money from Senator Marchione so we can get going on this valve replacement this summer. Going back and forth with more information they're looking for. We just drafted another letter tonight to answer another question they got. So hopefully we're at the end of the line here and we'll get a letter saying that we are successful and we can start to plan on how we want to spend the money, hopefully. I attended a Homeland Security and Emergency Services training class with the county, Tier 3 local public officials, first responder leadership, and other partners. On November 29th, it was a four-hour class and was held at the County Emergency Services Building on Blooming Grove Drive. It's a pretty interesting class. It was run by the county, or not the county, but the New York State Emergency Management Services. So it was pretty good class. And other than that, I think that's about it for me. Missy.
Yes, a couple of things. I again want to thank everyone for that tree lighting duty. You did a lot of help, Lori, and everyone else that participated. It was a really nice event, and a lot of people came. It was a nice warm night. The other thing I wanted to say is that the calendars are in. They came in nice and early this year, so if you didn't receive yours in the mail, I put some extras out there and out there. And if you wanted a few for your tenants and stuff, because they don't get one, there's plenty more available in the office. The other thing I wanted to, the dumping on the corner by the old mobile station. You'll notice that I had the Salvation Army bin removed, unfortunately. It was very helpful for them to have the stuff, but it just became a very dumping ground for everyone to put their stuff.
Right.
So
the
they were disappointed
there.
That I asked them to remove them, but it looks terrible over there. So I was talking with Mr. Saeed, I don't know what his name is, but he's working with the state police regarding the mattresses and things like that that are there, because they have identified who dumped them. And so he's just requesting just a little more time. He thinks the police are going to be able to find her. She moved from one area in the village to another place in this area. So other than that, you know, they're not his, so he doesn't know what to do with them. It is his property, so unfortunately I told him that, you know, we'll give you a little more time because you're working with the police, but it will need to be removed. And that's about it. So currently, the village of Nassau does not have any Salvation bin to dump clothes in anymore.
And those weren't really, they weren't owned by the Salvation Army, were they?
Not yet.
No, they were.
They were a place from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was Salvation Army.
Yeah, they resold them, cleaned them, resold them.
What about that telephone pole?
Yeah, that came down too.
I contacted them or Verizon and let them know that it came down. And I guess they were supposed to come back.
That was the old call box, right?
Yeah.
Well, payphone.
Payphone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Probably isn't even hooked up.
No, it wasn't. But they're aware that it's down, so.
They didn't dig it up?
Yeah.
I think somebody hit it when they were plowing the snow.
You got a drop call?
I actually.
So that was all, and I just wanted to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday. That's it.
Code enforcement? Marty's got a report.
Yeah, well, just to reiterate on that, I spoke to Kevin about that issue, and he also spoke to Mr. Saeed, and gave him 2 weeks, so he's got really till the middle of next week to get rid of the stuff. He's responsible. And then if that doesn't happen, then he's going to enforce it on Mr. Saeed, even though it's really not his stuff, so... Kind of a sticky situation, but he is responsible, so it's in the works. So let's hope something happens with the police department prior to us having to enforce it.
Animal control?
No report.
Community Revitalization Committee.
All right, I have no new news as we continue to work on the planning for the Main Street Technical Assistance Grant. And as I said, Mark Dowler is also working with us to move that forward as well. And Laura? I'd like to speak with you, one of these days to get you up to speed on that as well. And that's it. Mm-hmm.
Village beautification. There's a report here in the packet. Just an income statement.
Yeah, some expenses for the porta potty.
Yeah.
And there's a bicentennial meeting in January. I don't have the date, but it's after our next meeting.
I have it. It's January 30th.
January 30th.
At 7 p.m.
Youth committee, Judy?
On Sunday, December 4th, the youth committee celebrated our fourth annual holiday ornament workshop. Approximately 40 children created their special ornaments. Thanks goes out to Rich Brown and all the wonderful people at the fire department who graciously opened their premises for a workshop. Last week, several members of our committee met with the town youth committee to discuss their upcoming plans for winter events. If the weather is cooperative, we hope to host Friday night skating parties at the pond starting in January. Toys for the Resource Center are still being collected until Friday. There's still time to drop off toys at the two locations right here in the village, the clerk's office and the library. And of course, they're looking for new unwrapped toys.
I got an update from them yesterday. There's 81 families coming for toys this year.
Do you know if the town's going to have the summer camp this year?
They say they are.
Okay. It's in their budget.
Yeah.
Okay, CBA, Sue?
Nothing to report.
Anything from the planning board? Parking signs.
Everybody have a copy?
Yes. I did everybody a copy.
Yes,
so I guess I brought this to everyone's attention in September, last month I wasn't able to talk, so we weren't able to go over it then. So I appreciate your willingness to wait for me to be able to speak again. Officers Colano and Jones helped put together these observations as well as some recommendations of the agreement between what's in our code book, our laws of the village, and what's actually out there on the street in terms of signs, for parking, for stop signs, and some other speed limit signs as well. And so, you know, you've all had a chance to look at it. Is there any questions you might have? There are some inconsistencies, to say the least, about you know, what the law, what the code actually says, and what's actually out there. And one of the reasons why this is important is because oftentimes the police actually get complaints about parking and people going too fast, and since there's no way to enforce it, if there's no sign or anything like that, it becomes an issue, and it ends up being an escalation of a problem instead of we can solve it because we have a law, you know, and it should be pretty straightforward. So I think what we should try to do is whatever we have to do to adjust them to make them match, but it should be, we should have a consistent code that matches what we're actually doing out there in the village. So I pointed out some inconsistencies that for the board to consider.
Well, I have some questions on
it.
As you know, I'm out in the Skodak section of the village.
Yes.
Which is McClellan Road and Park Avenue.
Yeah.
And as far as signage goes, we're right on the money in terms of stop signs. We have one right on the corner. Okay,
yep.
Coming in, and one on the corner of Park Avenue going out.
Yep.
So there's no problem with that. My big problem, and I'm sure, and it's going to be a problem with the people that live there, is the parking. All of the houses there have driveways, and it's capable of taking a couple of cars. But if anybody throws a party or a get together or something, there is parking on the street. Now the street is wide enough to accommodate vehicles in both directions, and I think that if you're going to put up no parking signs out there, there's going to be a problem with the people who live there. They're not going to be happy.
Then we'll have to sponsor legislation to change the law. Because if you look at this on Park Avenue, both sides, entire length, there's no parking. That's what the law says.
The law says that,
and there's no signage. So it's not being enforced. Okay? And on McClellan Drive, both sides, the entire length, there's no parking, and there's no signs. So,
where did this come from?
This comes out of the if you look in the code, if you go online to the village code, you can bring it up, and under parking, there's a section for parking, and it lists all the streets that you're not allowed to park on the street.
Pretty much all of it.
So, you know, I agree and amend the code.
And maybe we should look at that.
Right, you know.
That was done in 1965.
Well, what we would do is amend the code to allow parking on those streets, you know, such as yours.
Or at least one side.
Westford, Maple, because anywhere, what I notice is anywhere where we have, like, no through traffic, our residents enforce. You know, anytime I've ever seen anybody speed through my neighborhood, you got three people are out yelling at them, slow down, slow down, slow down. So I think, and I've never seen an accident either, you know, in Westbrook Drive. You know, and I've been there, you know, 45 years on and off. So I think, you know, to amend that in, like Westbrook Drive or Tremont area, Phil's area, you know, amend it to where we're allowed to park there, you know, but other areas where there's through traffic, Elm Street, and so on, whether sidewalks, no parking, keep that enforced and then put the signs up in those particular areas. You know, because I've spoken to residents in my area as well, and they don't think it's necessary to have these signs, you know, for more enforcement. Like I said, residents will speak out, and they'll let people know. Slow down, and they'll yell at anybody. Anybody who they see breaking the law where it's going to cause danger or a problem, residents are right there speaking out to make, you know, make sure that it's taken care of immediately.
And that's, you know, that's why we're doing this. Is, you know, we're not
okay.
We're not running out and going to sign everything, but we're.
Are you going to tell Tom Mooney? You're going to tell Tom Mooney the people that come to pay their last respects. They're going to get a ticket for parking on Elm Street.
Well, again, we'll have to.
No, but just for 1 second. there is a section in the law that says when certain special events like that happen, you just have to let people know a day in advance. So that they know what to expect. It's right in the code. It has provisions for that, so you know that sort of thing wouldn't happen. Do people actually do it? Does Mr. Mooney come and tell anyone? No, he doesn't. And you know, perhaps we should maybe ask him to do that, so that you know, have some consideration for the people who are concerned about that, and to know, okay, at you know, between a certain amount of time, we're going to have cars there. Expect cars there, so don't get you know. Worried about it.
So with that provision, if I want, I'm going to have a party at my house and I want people to park on Elm Street, I could ask a couple days in advance, I could say, hey, can I park people on the street?
No.
Charlie?
We do it for the village-wide yard sale. We have parking on one side of Elm Street for that. You know, I think we just have to have a consistent approach. I mean, the point here was to make it consistent with what's happening, not necessarily to enforce something that we don't want to enforce. That was not my intention. My intention was to make it
point out what we got and what we have. Figure out if that's what we want to keep.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And again.
One of the issues that I'm a little concerned about, and you know, when I had a dog that could actually get walked in public. When I'd go around Westbrook, I'd worry about when there's cars parked on both sides of the street, and I think that's an issue. So again, I don't personally know how to make that work. You know, how to say, okay, well, you can park on one side or the other, but without enforcing something.
Well, I don't know. I think we've gotten along for all these years without such a huge issue on it, and I don't know if we. But again, you know, to get everything consistent on the books. Yeah.
The other thing is, there's more cars now than there's ever been. I mean, it's basically.
Charlie's been wanting to say something for a while.
Yeah.
The only thing that I would like to see when the board starts reviewing or changing is consideration for the emergency vehicles. Because I know there's been signs on Westbrook Drive that their vehicles, whether they're cars, trucks, RVs, it almost appears that the local fire department can't get through. So, it hasn't been recently, but I think consideration should be given just in case of an emergency with the fire trucks, because they are getting bigger, wider.
Yeah, they're getting longer and wider.
So,
the ambulance too.
Yeah. And you know, to be honest with you, there is a movement now, and people are going to look at me like I'm crazy right now, but that's okay. To have more parking on streets and main streets like Route 20. If you look at that street, you could actually fit parking on one side. I would consider when you revitalize that area, you might want to have parking
since we don't have any municipal
parking.
As much parking as possible, we could make it happen. Yeah.
So, just thinking about that, you want businesses, you want to be able to support a business, got to have a place for people to park.
I 100% agree.
So, that's not something for today, but in the future we need to consider that. There are certain things, though. One of the biggest things, right?
The
school sign should be done right. It's not done right now. There's only one. It's only on one side. It's not on the other side.
No, I agree with that. I would say go ahead.
So I think that's something that we should consider, quickly moving on.
And if it's a school zone sign, it should state that it's a school zone sign because that limits the hours of operation for that speed.
Yep.
Is there a fire lane in front of the school, when you're up on the school hill in front of the school?
Yes.
Every function I have attended for my grandson, they have a fire. And it galls me to death I don't mind parking at the bottom of the hill, and the last function I went to, the fella said, oh, there's room. I said, well, I can go down on the hill. No, no, there's room for you there, and I look, and the whole front is double. In front of the school and across, every single function for the past 3 years, no one says a thing. So I said to the fella, I said, isn't that the fire lane out front? He goes, I'm not sure. I said, well, you know,
should be clearly
marked. The hill is empty. And I was glad to park there, but both cars don't belong there. And then when I went to go in the school, he said to me, I didn't put them there. I said, I'm not picking on you, but I said, I believe that's a fire lane. Every function, here we're all in the school, in the auditorium. If anything happened, the fire truck could not get near that school. It could go in the back, but in the front, and they don't say nothing is done. And I won't name who was there, but it was a lot of the people I knew, and I'm going, well, I'm glad you got here early for that spot, because that, could the school be notified about that, or does the fire department have to notify them to say when you have a function?
Yeah, I think it's called, fire lanes, or... I mean, unless it was...
It should be clearly marked, too.
Yeah,
I couldn't see it.
I know there's... I mean, I've seen it over in the back by the entrance, by the back of the circle, like in front of the...
No, this is the front. Right? Yeah. Right. Right.
I don't recall. I don't go up that way much.
Nothing on the ground.
I would say, you know, just a letter to them or remind them when they have functions to keep that open for emergency traffic. Just leave it like that for now.
I think there might be one that's handicapped at the end, but right. I'm talking about right in front of the door, four or five cars that are right across from it, four or five cars and trucks, and there they sit, and I'm going,
but you know, it's quiet and enforceable, I suppose. You know, we could do, you know, like a parking ticket or something like that, but it's not, you know, there's nothing really written in the law because it's a school, you know what I mean? It's not like municipal, it's not public. You know,
well,
it's
quasi-public.
I don't know. It's weird. It is odd. But I think it'll just be a better approach to have.
No, it's better.
You have to send a letter and say, hey, you know,
paint a fire lane.
I mean, yeah, paint it out, and then you know, just have whoever has the functions, you know, after hours to enforce that. Have them enforce it themselves.
This was during the school day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was during the day?
Yeah, every time it says the events are during the school day, whether it be the breakfast or the 1 o'clock
bring a
singing
day.
Or whatever
that
it was, every
works.
Time I say it's full. And it just amazes me. Yeah. It shouldn't be.
So would Code send the letter? Or there was,
we'll take care of it.
Yeah, whoever, Mayor, Code, you know, kind of friendly reminder.
I think... I'll keep a lookout for the next time there's... As a matter of fact, there's a concert coming up because my granddaughter
you
asked me if I was going.
I mean,
it's just like 2 o'clock.
Every day I've gone, I walk in the fellas' room.
It might be Friday.
I'm not saying you did, but I think that's a fire
line. You know, if I'll go up and take a look at it and see what it is, you know, and I'll take some pictures, and then I'll talk to the principal about it. I just go ahead and talk to him. We'll see what we can do. Okay. Chickens. Not very much left.
What with the three letters in the packet.
Yep.
They're all stapled together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about this before, you know, and, you know, I always felt that chickens were not allowed in the village. That's my recollection from the 90s when I was on the board. You know, farm animals, you know, were not allowed in the village. I mean, you know, they just weren't. And, you know, the codes have been redone over time, and they don't seem to be as clear as they do. But now we had a letter that interprets, from attorney, that interprets that... you know, animal husbandry is not a permitted use in an R3500. So therefore, because it's not a permitted use, it is not permitted. That's the way they're interpreting it. And our attorney, you know, Dave Gruenberg, looked at that, and he seems to agree with what I'm reading here. And, you know, I think... I don't think we should have allow chickens in the village. I think it's nothing but a nuisance, and it's creating a lot of problems for residents. And you know, and I agree that I don't think they should have been allowed to begin with. We should have jumped right on it. Except everybody's saying, "Well, don't say that anymore now." But I think when we redo the codes, we ought to enforce and make it very clear that, you know, such as animal dogs and cats and dogs and other animals section, you know, that clearly states that, you know, listing, you know, poultry and pigs and horses and cows and whatever else are not allowed in the village, to be raised in the village. But that's where I'm coming from. I'm telling you.
As long as we're discussing it, I tend to interpret the law the exact same way, as has been pointed out by Mr. Cooper as well as our attorney. I think our code enforcement officer is hung up on a section of the law that actually doesn't even apply to R3500. I think he gave poor advice to the resident who has the chickens, and that's unfortunate because I think it was a mistake, and I don't know how to deal with that mistake,
How many residences within the village have chickens? Do you have any idea? Obviously, there's one.
Yeah. There's probably a few now. I mean, one is very visible.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been chickens in other sections.
Yeah, no,
kind of roaming around. Is it zoned? Do you know? I don't recall. I don't know.
There's a map over there. Westford Crowd, I think this.
It's probably the same, yeah. It's either R10,000 or R3500.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 10,000.
They had them now. They had them long before. They had them for a while.
I think it was just that one.
People just get them.
One resident that had the issue by Mr. Cooper, right?
Yeah.
Well, they run all over. They were running all over.
I know.
Look at them. They're in my yard. only for a couple hours.
They're temporary.
Did you get any eggs from the deal?
No eggs from the deal.
Mr. Cooper happy with the repairs to the fencing?
No.
Years ago, when we did have animals in the village, I had my horses and Sultan had the cows, and they just told us nonchalantly, when you get rid of the animal, when it dies, you can't replace it. And that was a mistake.
So maybe that's the approach we take.
Well, I think that's probably one of the approaches we're going to have to take. But, you know, you're going to have to figure out how you're going to...
Yeah, they need to sneak it back in.
Yeah. That's a band. Well, or band them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but...
Yeah, the ones that look like they're doing pretty well.
They don't look that long.
We have the feather.
All right. Well, we'll see if Dave shows up. He can have a little bit more input in that because, you know, I mean, you have to make sure that he's going to be able to enforce it, actually, if it goes to court.
Right.
All right, snow removal on the sidewalks.
Yeah.
We already beat that up, right?
Yeah, I did. I was just going to let you guys know the kind of things that we already talked about, that we did send over 50 letters out as reminders to people that didn't do it the first time. I did get 3 phone calls back. All of them were disabled people that don't know what they're supposed to do about shoveling their sidewalk, nor did they know that they had to. People do move in and out, so they don't know the rules. I posted it throughout the village, on the website, and on our Facebook page. So I didn't really know what to tell them. I told them that maybe they could find a teenage kid that wanted to shovel.
You know, most things, the people that do their driveway, they have the same person do the sidewalk.
If they have somebody do their driveway.
I imagine they do.
I don't know.
My experience with them guys that plow, they don't want to get out of their truck.
I know.
I don't want to hurt your back shoveling snow. That's how bad it'd be in a truck.
Well, we're going to keep on it for sure. So,
but I think we do need to consider though that we need to enforce the law the right way. I mean, we can't. You know, there's been some folks who complain that they got the letter and they think that they have to have it always. Have to have the sidewalk always clear. You have 24 hours after the storm. So I think we need to make sure that people understand, you know, exactly what's expected of them, and not.
I think the letter said
the letter was pretty clear.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying
that 24 hours after the storm.
You know, that doesn't always help people's interpretation. So you know, maybe we can all do a sort of a little reminder to folks to. Are worried that they're going to get a ticket because, you know, it's, you know.
The people that got the letter are aware of it, but the people that are hearing second hand are getting
bad information.
I know one person that was out at 5:45 in the morning next to me shoveling on her sidewalk because she thought she was going to get a ticket. Because somebody called her, you need to immediately shovel your, you know, with second hand. So, I mean, it's. That's what I think you're talking
That's
about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean people shouldn't be scared.
Yeah. Well,
you know, but
if you guys want to do an article for the advertiser, that was the only thing I didn't do.
It might be a good idea.
This is just a friendly reminder right now.
I think maybe if you give me that letter, I can draft up something for the article. Yeah. Or
I'll
for that.
Send you a full copy tomorrow.
Thank you.
If you want.
And I'll send it around so people can see it before I send it in.
Okay. Sounds good.
But in that, we might want to address how these people, like, you know, the blind guy on Lake Gav, he doesn't have any clue how he's going to shovel his driveway, obviously, or his sidewalk. And that was, most of the calls were all from elderly people that didn't do it. That's going to be an issue.
I like those. Yeah, I mean, maybe we ought to put something in there if we have anyone's interested in shoveling.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
or I want to get on the list. That will provide the
entrepreneur of shoveling
driveways,
give
them
the next business.
Okay. Okay, Contrell Avenue.
Yes, they did have something else.
Any day for that, so? Walk us through this. Walk us through your research.
Okay, so I received a letter from Brewer Engineer wanting to know, the question was, has Cottrell Ave been abandoned? The new owner of 48 Lake Ave purchased the property and apparently first one has never done a survey on it. If you look on the map I gave you, and I gave you guys very large copies that the engineer provided, you'll see that the property to the left and the right of Cottrell Ave, you'll see lot numbers on them. Those are on the person's deed. In the survey, Cottrell Ave came up, and it's not, they're not lot numbers. They're not being paid for. It's a paper street, undeveloped. So I did a lot of research, and I forwarded it off to planning, zoning, tried to get a little help, but Lori ended up helping me. She has a lot of information up there. So we found some resolutions that I attached, and obviously the board must have done something years ago, because you can see on the map that the house is over here on the property, but then in the 80s, I believe, there's a garage and there's an addition onto the house that's sitting on Cottrell. So it's right in the road. Obviously the unused road, but. So I searched the, it says Phyllis Casey of Lake Ave asked the board to determine the paper street of Cottrell Ave to be removed from the list of village streets and belong exclusively to Miss Casey. It says the board will take it under consideration and let her know about the finding. Then I found the one where they did have a public hearing on it, That one and the one, the paper street for Alter Alley. No comments were made on Cottrell, but comments were made about the Alter Alley one. And then if you look at the last page, it looks like that the village did approve to close the street. So I guess the question is what's my answer to the engineer? Well, I'm from the county. And they said there's not a deed on that property.
I think you made it, Bill.
So, if we had resolutions, then he would assign a tax ID number to it and then start billing the person, I suppose. Unfamiliar territory for me, but it's been quite interesting, all the research.
So nobody's paying taxes on this now?
No.
No, so
not included on these lots. You can see the lots on the left and the right. Right now, I mean, we all know where 48 Leek is. It's actually just a driveway. I mean, it's being used as a road, but it's still like 40, 50, I think it's like 40 feet.
Mm-hmm. 40 feet.
It's not that much.
300 feet long.
The engineer is going to include it in the property.
A little over a quarter acre.
And what the county said is if something doesn't get done with it, something about it could be sold or put up for auction. It's very complex. And that's why Dave had some information.
So it looks like the garage and something else falls within.
They're already on the street, yeah.
So how does that happen? Does it get
because looking at the resolution, you know, they're not as explicit as they were. You know, they're pretty vague, but it would seem like the village, you know, gave Miss Casey the right to have the street like she asked for. Because she wouldn't have been able to put those two buildings on it if she didn't. If they didn't. I mean, that's all the resolutions I can find, but, and there might be more out there, but it took a long time finding them.
Well, I think the one that closes is the last one. That's the one you need. So
I would think that it was, but it's never been deeded. It's never had a tax ID number, so I don't know. It has to be taken care of because it's just a limbo.
It falls right between Ken's property, right?
It's their driveway.
It's their driveway.
Now, the town took care of their part of it because if you see, if you call over, the county does have, like looking on your map, you see that sliver on the top? That actual dotted line is where the town of Nassau is, okay? Holber actually owns that, and he has a deed on it. And he pays $4 in sales tax, blah, blah, blah. And the same as he pays a little bit to the village on that piece as well. But that's the only part that was issued a tax ID number.
So we
must have vacated the road, or it wouldn't have been given a tax ID number.
Well, the county does that.
Right, but we have to notify them.
Yep, so we never notify them.
So I think we should notify them.
I would think that we need to, although he was saying that we'd have to do a quick claim deed to give it to them and to get a number for it, but it's complex. So I did send everything to Dave, and I just don't think there's need for a deed since we found the resolution.
Right.
That was before we had the resolution.
Right.
No, I don't think we need a quick claim deed.
So the county does. In fact, you got to be able to give it to the guy.
I have the resolutions from the 1982. We must have given it to her because she built buildings on it.
We just need to wait for Dave's opinion.
Just see what we have to do to make it right. So yeah, he's not here, but.
Does Barbara's have an attorney that looked at this and said anything about?
They have an engineer.
Okay. So I think that, at least we should voice to Dave that we agree that the village abandoned the road, the paper street, in whenever that was, 1982, and that we should turn it over to the county for a number, a tax number.
Margaret, is that how I usually what's done? Would you ever have to do a paper street?
I don't remember anything being done with the tax map.
Okay, yeah. So basically, I have to get it, have a tax map number assigned to it. Okay.
Now, wouldn't the property be reverted to Ken and Barber instead of the county at this point? And it's right between both his properties. Wouldn't he want that to be his?
It is. It's up on his survey, but they're not paying taxes on it.
Oh.
It's like free land in the middle of both his pieces of property.
I mean, take a look at Craig. When you closed off her alleyway, look at her property file, because she then took all that.
Right, people take it, but that doesn't mean they're paying taxes on it.
Her tax map changed. Did you look at the file?
Yeah, this one didn't. The county has checked it all out for me. I mean, this one had not changed. But it's because...
They didn't have to get a tax ID number. It just went to her. She increased her lot by that much.
I don't know. That's not what the county's saying. They said they have nothing on it.
Yeah, tell the county to, we'll tell the county to fix it.
I mean, instead of having a separate piece of property,
it's
right.
You
know, incorporated into one or the other. Split it.
I don't know. That's very confusing. I'm not riding a new Peter Street, so it's all learning curve. There's a lot of hours of research.
No.
All right, so we'll bring that up to Dave and let him follow through on making sure that that gets taken care of. All right, so the last item on new business is this Urswama, New York State Authority's Budget Office report, which was not a very good report.
I'm not sure if the board had a chance to review the report, so I printed every... the report out for everybody.
I did it as well. Yeah.
I've got one.
So you can have it anyway. Yeah.
You don't want to take it home.
That's right.
Tree's already dead.
Anyways, I printed this out just for the board to review. I've also printed out for the board that we had a meeting on the 10th of December. For your people to review, and I'm hoping that this information goes to Missy. Somebody will give you that. So she could either scan it and put it on the Nassau website, and then the final package that I printed out was the services that are provided by Urswama, and I'm hoping that that will also, Randy, I'm sorry, I don't have another one for you. Anyways, what I'd like to do is, rather than explain the situation, the Authority Budget Office did a review of Urswama, and they were pretty scathing on the inadequacies of Urswama and the way all municipalities are doing business as far as being basically government oversight. Involved, if some of the old timers are here, been involved Scaticoke, Pittstown, Valley Falls, Nassau, and Steventown and Castleton. Some of the members on the board are actual town supervisors. Rather than try to defend, what I would like to do is ask the board to review what I've just given them. It's definitely through transparency, and I put it on the website, and also email me your comments and questions so I can review them. And then I'm hoping that I can answer all the comments and the questions for the next meeting. And I will certainly try to bring the Matt Curley, the executive director. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of inadequacies and misinterpretations by the auditors. They audited not only Matt, but they questioned three of the board members. There has been changes since the final report, but I'm hoping that there's also information in there that monies are going to be given back to the municipalities. I think Bob is on one of the pages. Nassau will receive a one-time payment of, I think, $2,300 or $2,500. Some of the municipalities will be even higher.
Plus the $2,000.
What's that?
Yeah, you're right, about $2,500.
Okay. It's going to be a one-time shot. That was recommended by the ABO group. So, but I do welcome any concerns and comments and questions, and feel free to email me. I still have all your email addresses, and I'll certainly email you to provide mine. And there were some inadequacies over the years, some that I wasn't even aware of, being on the board as long as I have. So, again, I'd rather try to do it for the next meeting and bring Matt. And Matt would certainly like to meet with you, Bob, and Bill separately at your convenience. He's not too good in public, but he needs to address the municipalities. And he doesn't have a problem, but he'd rather do it with yourself and Bill.
Mm-hmm.
But
not a problem, Bob.
He certainly. We know where the shortfalls were. So,
I mean, you know, it's, you know, I read through this report a few times, you know, and I know a lot of it is not that big a deal. I mean, a lot of it is perception.
Correct.
Okay. But, you know, my big concern is, and where I'm sitting from right now, is the part about, you know, we just went through this bidding process.
Correct.
And we only got one bid.
I know that.
You know. And, you know, some of the references in this thing, you know, refer to favored bidding and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I'm very concerned about that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because now I don't know if I got a good deal.
Well,
you know,
part of the package that I provided to you people showed you exactly, you know, what the authority provides for all the municipalities.
Yep.
And it's unfortunate that the perception is there, but it's also for the people and the residents of all the municipalities is that collectively we're basically all getting a better deal rather than Nassau going solo.
Well, you know, I mean, and I'm a big proponent of coalition type biddings and stuff, because I mean, you know, I do that a lot in my private life and my private work and that kind of stuff too. And I mean, to me, you know, this organization, if it's working correctly, should be able to get us much better pricing than we could get on our own. And they do provide a lot of services, and being able to provide them to a group of municipalities, they can certainly do it more cost effective than the village of Nassau could hire somebody to do it on our own. You know, so I don't have a problem with that, but I just, you know, and it just strikes that, you know, when you only get one bid and things are happening, now I, you know, I'm concerned about that.
Yeah,
so,
no, I agree.
So that's
agree.
That's an issue for me.
All right, I agree. But I would like to, you know, put the olive branch out, you know, and I would tell Matt that, you know, you guys would be receptive to meet with him at your convenience.
What was pointed out in the report is that Prince Columbus started out with 13 municipalities. Okay,
Maybe Margaret and everybody. I heard that number too.
Well, it's down to seven now, and obviously six of them have found it to their advantage to not do this.
I'm not sure who the original 13.
No, I'm not. They weren't mentioned in it.
No, I don't know who it was. Maybe Margaret does, but I don't. So, and I don't know the reason for them leaving the authority either. So, I'm sure you could, I can get that information and email it to you guys.
So if residents is going to be posting it, where do we send our questions to the answer?
I know I still have your email.
I would send it to Missy as a focal point, and then she can send it to me or through Bob
or Bill even, because Bill. I mean, Bill's supposed to be the board rep for Swama.
And one question for you, Charlie: did you, whenever you provided the board, did you distinguish between Swama and the community warehouse?
That's separate. Yeah, that's somewhere in those packages. There's a distinction, a divide between the authority and the warehouse.
And did you provide budgets for both or not?
There are budgets in there. I'm not sure on the warehouse.
Is it possible you could get one?
Yeah, just use Missy, and then right. I can send it on to her.
Hey, Charlie, can you provide how it's arrived at that our credit is $2,500, how that was arrived at, because, you know...
I didn't provide that, because there's basically a worksheet. It's right here.
Okay. Yeah, but how is that arrived at? Is that what this...
Yes.
So these are the overcharges to us?
Yes.
This is the next year.
Yeah.
And that's 2502.
Right.
0747.
Yep.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
Just a couple other things. So, the response by the Urswama board and Matt, I guess, that's included in the ABO report?
If you look in the table of contents,
there should be something in the table of contents. I'm not sure.
It's there. But okay. My question is, does the board or does the board of Urswama still not believe that it overbilled the member municipalities? I'm just questioning, and here the response is we didn't overbill. This to us says you did overbill. Which suggests to me that the problems aren't actually gone there. And, that's an issue. The operation of that is an issue. I wish Tim Dormady was here because, as someone who started the authority, I think he would be appalled at what's happened. Other people in Albany, in case anyone hasn't known, at SUNY Polytech, there's people going to jail for this non-competitive bidding. Now, or at least they're going to court about it. I find the response from Urswama not acceptable, troubling, and doesn't suggest that the changes that are required to operate that authority are going to happen. I would suggest, and I'm going to suggest this to the board, that we demand that Matt Curley resign. I think he's self-dealing stuff. It's clear that he was. And I think that the current board members, maybe with the exception of Bill, since he hasn't really been on very often, should be forced to resign and a new board appointed. And it's actually even more troubling that there are supervisors of towns that are on this board and that this is happening under their noses. That's not oversight. I mean, previous members of this board questioned the billing. And it wasn't taken seriously or whatever, but it's clear that there was something going on here. And thankfully, it's only $2,500 to the village, although it would be nice if we could have that money back or credited or however you want to take care of that. But
that is going to be credit.
But that's just,
I will pass on your concerns and your comments to Mr. Curley, again, if you've got other questions, feel free to go through Missy and then to me, and I will certainly address them when I can.
Okay. And just make sure Bill gets copied on everything. So.
Well, it's going to go through Missy as the clerk. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes, that's fine.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, we'll open the floor for public comment.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you all. Have a safe and joyous holiday season. We'll see you all next year. So we'll audit the bills now.
We got the resource center coming down here Saturday.
Yes, they have the center Friday and Saturday. They have the center. The food is being handed out. See you Friday.
Yeah, not until probably the end of February. They're on the calendar. They're on the new calendar. Okay.
No, not yet.
All right, so bills 207 to 243, amount of $22,646.21 in the general fund and $3,358.39 in the water fund. Motion by Randy to pay the bills.
Second.
Second by Bill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Adjournment's in order. Motion by Randy.
Second.
Second by
Bill. Oh my God, this is...
We'll give that one to Dave. Second by Dave.